Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday morning, 8:05 a.m. for 55 full minutes. First half of the hour, teaching from God's Word. And the last half of the hour, we're going to bring you some great contemporary Christian and gospel music. And so we say welcome again to each and every one of you, especially if you've tuned in this morning for the very first time. We say welcome to you. And we hope you come back each and every Sunday morning and make this a regular stop on your Sunday morning schedule. And for those of you who have been faithful listeners now for many months and years, we say thank you to you and welcome to you. And we just pray that you come back each and every Sunday morning also and let your friends know, let other people know that this broadcast is coming to you and it's a good teaching, it's a good broadcast, some good Christian music and some good teaching. And so we just thank you. We thank the Lord for the provision. We thank you for opening up doors for us here through this radio broadcast. And we just praise your name, Lord, that you have brought this broadcast about and provided the provision for it and taken it into the prison. And so we just thank you for this opportunity. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported. We just invite each and every one of you to help to pay for this radio broadcast, to help support these endeavors. And so we just invite each and every one of you to pray about your part in coming alongside this ministry and blessing this ministry. And so there's a couple of ways we would invite your prayer support. We would invite your prayer support to be a regular intercessor for this ministry. If you would like to be an intercessor, just let me know at Pure Prairie at Hotmail, Pure Prairie at Hotmail, hotmail.com, and I'll get you on the list and keep you updated on ministry events and happenings, and I'll get you an email to let you know when prayer support is needed. And so if you would take that call upon yourself, just let me know at pureprairie at hotmail.com, and I'll get you on the intercessor list. And secondly, we invite you to be a contributor to help pay for this radio airtime and also to support other endeavors of the ministry, international crusades and revivals. And so we just invite each and every one of you to pray about your part in helping to support this ministry. And as the Lord leads you, I invite you to come before the Lord with an offering. Many of you have listened to these broadcasts for many months and years and not given to help support it. And so I'm just asking you to come before the Lord with an offering each and every week. If you'd like to be a monthly supporter, we can have that arranged to have it drawn from your account into the ministry account, and so we can do that. And also, if you'd just like to be a one-time supporter, we would invite you also to do that. But just come before the Lord with an offering. Be grateful if you're being fed by this teaching, if you're being fed by this ministry. Why, give back to those who are feeding you. And so we just invite you to participate in that way. There's a couple of ways you can contact us: by regular mail. It's Box 92, Norton, Kansas 67654. That's Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, Box 92, Norton, Kansas 67654. Or you can look us up on the World Wide Web at gatheroutcast.com. That's gatheroutcast.com. We've got a website out there with video downloads and some regular still pictures and also lots of teachings, some past audio broadcasts, and some prophetic words and visions. Also, the Gather the Outcast website is linked to a teaching blog, jimrau.blogspot.com. That's jimrau.blogspot.com. It's a teaching blog now with about 300 teachings. And I'm doing a teaching series on the blog now. It's called Walk in the Spirit, from the same series of messages that I am speaking here on the radio, only it's a lot more extensive on the blog. And so if you'll go there, jimrau.blogspot.com, and delve into that Walk in the Spirit teaching series, you'll be blessed by that, and you'll see many teachings there on gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual warfare, prophetic dreams and visions, and other things that will be of interest to you. And so check it all out. The blog, again, jimrau.blogspot.com. The website, gatheroutcast.com. And the mailing address is Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Again, if you have prayer requests or any comments or suggestions, just drop me an email at purepray@hotmail.com, and I'll be happy to pray over your prayer request. I would be happy to address your suggestions or your comments, and so we just invite you to participate in that way. Well, we're going to talk about walking the Spirit, prayer, and fasting this morning, and so if you have your Bible there, turn it to Matthew 6. We're going to open up in Matthew 6, and then from there we'll go to Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and so get your Bible out and get it ready. We'll take that up here in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the blessings of being able to come to the people today and touch them with the word from your word, from your holy word. And we thank you for the message today. We thank you for the provision. And we just ask you to bless those who are listening today, touch them and meet them wherever they're at, Lord, wherever they are in need, whether it's physical healing or spiritual rejuvenation and restoration or healing of their emotions. Lord, we just ask you to touch them. Go deep inside them today, Holy Ghost, and touch them wherever the people are at. And we thank you for this opportunity, for the open door to speak your word into the prison, to speak your word over this region and across the airwaves into the far corners of the world through the internet. And we just praise your mighty name for the opportunity, Lord. We ask you to open up more doors for this ministry. We pray for provision for the orphanage in Kenya. We pray for your provision for international crusades, for trip to Africa again this summer. And we thank you for your word that teaches and instructs, reproofs and rebukes us. And we thank you for your word that gives us strength to continue and encouragement to continue. And we ask you to bless each and every person listening out there today. Lord, we pray for our country. This time of the inauguration of our president, we ask you to touch him, Lord, turn his heart back to you. And we ask you to give wisdom to the congressmen and women. We ask you to give wisdom to the Supreme Court judges. And we thank you, Lord, for this country where we can speak your word out over the airwaves, where we can worship you and acknowledge you in freedom. And Lord, may it forever be that way. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity, and we ask your blessings on the message today. We pray it in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Once again, this is Jim Rowe, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We've been talking about walk in the Spirit, or walking in the Spirit, from Galatians 5, 16 and 17, where God's Word says through the Apostle Paul, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh and the spirit are in opposition to each other. And Paul says we do not do what we please when we are in opposition to the spirit, when the flesh takes over and is in opposition. And so I have laid out three basic principles of what it means to walk in the spirit. And those three principles, you can picture them as three legs of a stool or three legs of a chair. And when you have a three-legged stool, if all the legs are in place, the stool can't be pushed over. But yet, if any one of the legs is not in place, the stool is easily pushed over. And so, as we think about walking in the Spirit, what does it mean on a practical basis? What does it mean on a day-to-day basis to walk in the Spirit and to serve the Lord in that way? Well, I see three things that are essential to the Christian walk. And every believer, no matter if you're a pastor or a minister or whatever it is you're doing, or maybe you're just a brand new baby Christian and you've just come into the kingdom, you've just been born again, or maybe you're just an outsider looking in, whatever it is your place in life, whatever it is your place in ministry and in your walk with the Lord, these three things are essential to a successful Christian walk. These three things are essential to victory in the Christian walk, and they need to be taken up and done for a lifetime. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And as you do these things and they become second nature to you, they become a part of your disciplined way of life. You become a disciple of Jesus Christ. These things will become just a habitual thing for you, and they will then reinforce and strengthen and encourage your walk with the Lord. Well, in Matthew 16, Jesus talked about fasting as part of prayer, and the three essentials for walking in the Spirit are praying to the Lord each and every day, setting aside time. We talked about this last week in the message. Go into your inner room and close the door, Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 9, and pray ye like this: Our Father who art in heaven. And then he told the disciples the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, and he made it clear to them that he wanted them to pray, that prayer was the essential to connecting to the Father who is in secret, to connecting to the Father who sees in secret and hears in secret and is hidden from the world. The world doesn't see him, the world doesn't know him, but when you go to your inner room and connect with him, the Father who is in secret sees in secret, and he will repay you. And so prayer is that first thing in walking in the Spirit. The second thing is a daily study or daily reading of God's Word. Let his Word soak into your heart. Let his Word teach you. Let his Word pierce you. And if you do that each and every day, make reading God's Word a priority, then you will be well on your way to a solid foundation. You can hide that Word in your heart and take it with you wherever you go. And then the third aspect of walking in the Spirit is the fellowship with the saints, the fellowship each and every week, be in fellowship with the saints, whether in a Bible study or small group study or in church service. But God wants you to be with the saints. He doesn't want you to be isolated out there by yourself. When you're isolated by yourself, then it's easy for the devil to pick you off. And I'm not speaking against radio ministries or radio broadcasts or television evangelists or television churches, but there's nothing in the media, nothing in radio or television that can replace face-to-face contact and face-to-face and hand-to-hand touching. And so God wants you to be in the fellowship then, so that you can enjoy the benefits, the encouragement of other Christians, of other believers. You can enjoy the prayers of other believers, and vice versa. You can encourage them and strengthen them by your presence and by your being there in the fellowship with them also. And so we're going to look at today walking in the Spirit, praying and fasting, which is an essential part of prayer. And Jesus knew this. He told the disciples in verse 16 of Matthew 6, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. And then in verse 17 he goes on to say, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And so Jesus implies with his words that you will fast, that you will be fasting. Back to verse 16, whenever you fast, he says. And then again, and when you fast, verse 17, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. And so it's an implication by the Lord Jesus Christ that you will fast. It's an essential part of prayer. In my own life, I will tell you that in my ministry, I have spent many days and weeks in fasting. And the last several years, at the first of each year, I have done a 40-day fast or a 21-day fast as just a routine thing. And this year, I'm doing a 21-day fast. I'm about halfway through it. And I can tell you that the blessings that come just in being able to focus on the Lord and tune in to him and to hear his voice and just to spend more time in prayer for your family, for yourself, for your country, all of these things come into sharp focus when you're fasting, and all of these things will be a blessing to you when you fast and when you couple fasting with prayer. It's not so much about the food or what you eat. I'm doing a Daniel fast this time, and that's generally what I do when I go 21 or 40 days. I do a Daniel fast, which is basically a vegetarian pulse-based fast. But if you want to, you can fast for 1 day or 3 days with nothing but water or just simple foods. I don't consider staying away from the TV or the computer a fast, although that may be a good thing to do. I don't consider it a fast. And so I think you need to afflict yourself by denying yourself pleasures of the flesh in terms of food. And that's generally what a fast is all about. It's about denying yourself, picking up your cross and carrying it daily, and denying yourself, denying your flesh, disciplining your flesh. Don't give your flesh everything that it wants. Don't indulge in all the pleasures that your flesh wants, and you will move forward and walk in steadfastness and faithfulness with the Lord. Well, the most comprehensive teaching in the Bible in terms of fasting is in Isaiah 58. It's a great chapter. I encourage you to study it on your own. I encourage you to look it up. I encourage you to then pray about maybe doing a fast in your life. If you've never fasted before, maybe just start with a three-day fast with just water and your Bible and the gift of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, the grace of the Lord to fast will come upon you, and God will give you the strength to complete whatever it is that you start. He knows your heart, and He knows what it is you want to do. And so in Isaiah 58, Isaiah talks about fasting. He talks about the people of that day who were fasting and not hearing from the Lord. And then he goes on to say or describe the fast that he wants us to partake in, the fast that the Lord wants us to do, that would give us freedom and that would give us victory in our walk with the Lord. And he says here in Isaiah 58:6, is this not the fast which I choose? And then he goes on to list eight things which the fast will accomplish. Number one, it will loosen the bonds of wickedness. In other words, those bonds that are holding you back in wickedness, those bonds that are keeping you away from moving forward in your walk with the Lord, those bonds that maybe you've made agreements with the devil over the years, and God says, when you fast, I'm going to break those agreements. When you fast, I'm going to set you free from those agreements. And so when you fast, you come to a place where those agreements come before you, and you have to call on Jesus. You have to cry out to Jesus, and you have to say, Lord, set me free. I want to be free. And as you move forward, the devil loosens his hold on you, and God breaks the grip. God breaks the bonds of wickedness. The second thing it says in Isaiah 58:6, it will undo the bands of the yoke. And the yoke being spoken of here is the yoke of iniquity, the yoke of wickedness, that yoke that the devil has put on you. When you, anytime you make agreements with the devil, you have then a yoke with the devil. You have been yoked to him. And anytime in your life, even going back to your childhood, and sometimes we even have yokes with the devil with things that we are not conscious of, generation curses that have been handed to us through our family line, through our family tree, our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, those generation curses. Maybe you didn't even participate in the decision to take those on, and yet you are yoked to them, and yet you are bound by them because of the iniquity of your forefathers. And so the bands of the yoke are broken when you fast. And then the third thing is to let the oppressed go free. And I'm sure that if you are oppressed by the devil, if you are listening to this today and you have some kind of oppression, maybe you are trapped in some kind of an addiction, cigarettes or alcohol or pornography or just sexual lust or whatever, God says, I'm going to let you go free. I'm going to break the addiction. I'm going to break that oppression off of you. I'm going to take it off of your shoulders, and I'm going to set you free. And so as you fast, you will be moving forward in freedom. You will be moving forward in freedom, and you will not be then oppressed by the devil and held back in your walk with the Lord. And then in the Isaiah 58:6, the last thing he says is that he's going to break every yoke. And again, that is a repeat of the previous statement, that he's going to undo the bonds or the bands of the yoke, and to break every yoke. God wants to break every yoke, and he wants us to be yoked with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's in Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus wants to be yoked with you. He wants you to be yoked with him, and so that his yoke upon you sets easy on your shoulders and it's light on your shoulders. And as you move forward in your walk with the Lord, you walk step by step with him because you're yoked to him. And anybody that's driven two horses or two mules or two oxen know that when they're stepping together, they're moving out together, they can pull that plow or pull that burden easily because they're moving together. And that's the design Jesus has for us. He wants us to be yoked to him, and then we move out with him, and we are easily then able to conquer the oppressions and the burdens in our life. Well, in verse 7 in Isaiah 58, he goes on to say some other things that happen when you fast. You'll divide your bread with the hungry. Well, how does that come about? It comes about because you're not eating that day. You're not taking the bread that is being supplied by someone somewhere, some farmer, some store, some co-op, or some provision. You're dividing your bread with the hungry. In other words, you're letting your bread go to those poor people that don't have any food. And again, then he says to bring the homeless poor into the house. And so as you consider other people who do not have what you have, as you consider those who are unfortunate or have been put out on the street and don't have a home, you will then have compassion for them. Jesus looked on the multitudes and he had compassion for them. He had compassion for their spiritual condition, but he also had compassion for their physical condition. Anywhere Jesus had a crowd around him, he nearly always fed them, and he helped those who didn't have homes. He helped those who were hungry and those who were thirsty. And so that is our commission also, is to reach out to those who don't have. Matthew 25:36, Jesus says, "When you've done this to the least of these of me, or of mine, when you've done this to the least of these of mine, you've also done it unto me." And he was speaking about giving clothing to the naked and water to those who were thirsty, food to those who were hungry, visiting those who were in prison and visiting those who were sick and in the hospital, and then taking in the alien among us. And Jesus says, when you have reached out to these helpless and these poor and these homeless and these sick and incarcerated, when you've reached out to these, Jesus said, then you have reached out to me. And so that is a motivation for us to reach out, to do good works in the name of Jesus, to build orphanages, to visit those in prison, to visit those in the hospital. And as we do that, then we receive the blessings of the Lord Jesus. And verse 7 again, when you see the naked, you cover him. That is, to give clothing to the naked, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. That is, don't hide yourself from your family and friends who are in need, but make yourself known. Don't just take care of yourself. Don't just think about your own selfish needs here on this earth, but help those who are in need. And if you have extra and someone else is in want and they come to you, well, then give that extra to them, to bless them and strengthen them and encourage them. Then in Isaiah 58:8, Isaiah says, this will be the result. In other words, when you fast, when you do these things, when you loosen the bonds of wickedness and let the oppressed go free, and when you divide your bread and all these things that he listed in verse 6 and 7, Isaiah says, then this will be the result for you. This is what you can expect when you fast. This is what you can expect to happen in your life, This is what you can expect to happen in your ministry. And God says, I want to bless you. I see your sacrifice. I see how you've given. I see how you've set aside your fleshly desires. And so God says, this is what I will do for you. And Isaiah lists here six things that will happen as a result of your fast. And number one, your light will break out like the dawn. Isaiah says, your light will break out like the dawn. And so your light, that light that God has given you, this little light of mine, don't put it under a bushel basket. Let your light break out. Let people see who you are and what you are. Let people see that you are a child of God, that you are a believer. Let them know that you are born again. Share your testimony. Get out there and do whatever it is God calls you to do. Be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Be a trailblazer. God is calling each and every one of you out there, brothers and sisters. He is calling you today to do something for the kingdom. I ask you to pray about what he wants you to do and then move forward through the open doors. God will open the doors that no man can shut. And as he does that, he will bless you and strengthen you in your walk with him. And then secondly, it says your recovery will speedily spring forth. Isaiah 58:8, your recovery will speedily spring forth. And so as your recovery speeds forth, you're going to not be held back by the things that have held you back in the past. You're not going to be oppressed and burdened by those things which have oppressed and burdened you in the past. And if you have had problems with addictions, if you've had problems with strongholds in your life, God says, I'm going to speedily spring forth your recovery. I'm going to take you to new heights, and you will speedily recover from those places where you have tripped up and fallen in the past. Then he goes on to say, your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And so this describes our position in battle with the enemy of our souls. Your righteousness will go before you. God sees your righteousness. He will put it in front of you to exalt you, to go before you in the battle. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so as righteousness exalts our nation, so also righteousness exalts individuals. And so if you're living right and in right standing with the Lord, that righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You don't have to worry about the enemy sneaking up on you in behind you, that you don't have to worry about the enemy coming in from behind you to attack you, because the Lord says, I'm going to guard your rear. You can move forward in boldness and confidence. You don't have to keep looking over your shoulder. You don't have to keep looking back at what's happened in the past. You can just look forward to that upward call of Christ Jesus and move forward in the calling and the destiny that he has for you. Then the fifth thing, it says that you will call and the Lord will answer. And this is the part about fasting that is so amazing and so blessing. Such a blessing is that you will call on the Lord and he will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. And so the Lord is ready to hear from you. The Lord is ready to hear your cry. He's ready to hear your plea. And as he hears it, he will say, here I am. I'm guarding you. I'm covering you. The blood of my son Jesus covers you. And God says, I will prepare you for battle. I will move you forward in battle. And I will watch over you. And I will guard you as you go into battle with the enemy of your soul. Well, brothers and sisters, it all starts with Jesus Christ. He is our leader. He is the captain of our army. And he is the one who hung on the cross for you. He's the one who shed his blood that you could have eternal life with him, that you could know him and know the Father God for all eternity. And so I encourage you today to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I encourage you today to say yes to Jesus. If he's prompting you, if the Holy Spirit is wooing you and looking for you, the Holy Spirit is choosing you this day, the Holy Spirit is encouraging you this day to accept Jesus, I pray that you do that. I pray that you just get down on your knees and ask the Lord to come into your life, ask Jesus to come in and save you, repent of your sins, Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sinful ways and your wickedness, and God will be faithful and true to forgive you, and Jesus Christ will come and dwell with you through the Holy Spirit of God. Follow it up with Christian immersion baptism, and let your light shine to this dark world, and you will be saved. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Well, next week we're going to talk more about walking in a spirit, and we're going to look at studying God's Word and taking His Word and hiding it in our heart. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.